Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey everybody, welcome to Dank Discussions. Today we're joined by Reza Barzi. Reza is the owner and operator at the Great American Ranch. Thanks for joining us today, Reza.
Hey, thank you, Maynard, for having me on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Pleasure's all mine. Appreciate it. So let our listeners know where you're located out of today.
We're in Southern Oregon.
Southern Oregon, cool. And tell me a little bit there about what you're doing there with the Great American Ranch.
Yes, so we are an old CC and ODA license holder. We do cannabis and hemp. We've been growing here for over a decade. We were under the medical program at first. And, you know, once they introduced the recreational market, you know, we applied and we were one of the first ones that got our old CC license. And after that, you know, we did, you know, some hemp under the Oregon Department of Agriculture.
Very cool. You know, I know it's not unique completely, but it is pretty rare to have your OLCC and your ODA license and to basically, you know, be growing the, you know, the THC marijuana and the hemp. Can you tell me, you know, why you think a lot of people, they focus on one or the other? And can you tell me your experience of being able to grow both to, you know, both there and the benefits of that as well?
Exactly. So our main goal is to produce high quality flower. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're focused on. Whether it's hemp or cannabis, you know, both, you know, end results, you know, you want to have quality flower because the consumers need to know, you know, what they're using, if the material is clean, if it's pest free, mold free. And that's what we focus on. And we were actually one of the farms that we were able to do hemp and cannabis. And, you know, we're grateful to do that because of the fact that they capped the licenses under the old CC and you're not able to get, you know, the cannabis license in the state of Oregon anymore. And, you know, we've been studying this plant for decades. And, you know, our focus is just, you know, to produce quality for our people.
Oh, amazing. And, you know, do you think that there's a, you know, like benefit? Why do you think more people aren't doing both? Is it because of the licenses? Obviously, it's capped now, so you can't get the licenses anymore. But you think it's because, you know, there's so much red tape, so much regulation to go out and get each license as it is? Or is it something that has to do with, you know, just the SOPs and having the, you know, different cultivation techniques or just too much of a headache? Why do you think that it's that, well, that more people aren't doing both?
One is the licenses, you know, because, you know, the old CC is way more restrict than the ODA. You know, you have the seed to sell, you know, program, which is a metric system. Uh-huh. And, you know, the regulations around the old CC comparing to the ODA is day and night, you know, and a lot of people, you know, quit the old CC just because of, you know, those matters, because they were not able to, you know, stay comply with the new rules and regulation that the state was passing. And also, you know, some people just want to focus in, you know, one side of it with hemp. You know, it's nationwide, so you could do, you could ship your material to anywhere around the world. So you know, some people choose going towards the hemp, some people choose going towards the cannabis. We chose to do both, you know, just to have, you know, our options open, you know, whether, you know, we're doing cannabis, you know, which stays with the state of Oregon, or we're doing hemp, which, you know, we could send it worldwide.
Definitely. And, you know, with the regulations, I know it's so difficult, you know, with the THC, you know, like you said, there's so much more added red tape, so many other hoops that you have to jump through, you know, in terms of the seed to sale, tracking every little bit, MTRAC, being compliant. And obviously, you know, we're in the cannabis industry, which means we're in the compliance industry. You know, how can we better, systemize it and kind of like, you know, have be able to overcome those regulations and those compliance issues?
Well, I'm going to give you a very detailed explanation. I believe it was the state's fault. And let me tell you why. Uh-huh. The state of Oregon gave out too many recreational licenses at first. And there were so many farms came in the state of Oregon that it drove the prices so low that no one were able to make any money for the first 2 years. The prices crashed. And guess what? State of Oregon is an exporting state. There aren't that many people living in the state of Oregon. So with the amount of licenses they gave out and the amount of pounds were cultivated in the state of Oregon, there was a huge flood. So that made almost 50% of the people quit and get out of business because they were not able to feed their families and, you know, get their investments back. And I feel like because the state did not, you know, put a cap on it, you know, it created a scene here in the state of Oregon that kind of hurt our industry on the rec side, you know, for almost 2 years.
Uh-huh. No, definitely. And, you know, you hear all the horrible, you know, the horror stories of people and how the price crash really affected families, you know, and affected people's livelihoods and affected how, you know, not just quitting the industry completely, but some of them, you know, God forbid, taking their own life and, you know, and how that's really, you know, been devastating for people and for families. You know, how have you guys been able to stay above that and keep, you know, keep treading water and being able to be successful over the long run?
Well, luckily, you know, like I said, we were able to do hemp as well. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, with, you know, we weren't making much on the OLCC side because of the taxation and, you know, the regulations. And also, you know, the prices are being so low and, you know, we were cornered out in a flood market and we were not able to make much with, you know, the cannabis side of it. But since we were able to, you know, deal nationwide with the hemp, we were able to, you know, keep up and stay operating, you know, since, you know, we had, you know, the hemp on the other side.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And I guess that is, you know, that is a huge pro there for having both, being able to keep yourself going. Now, do you feel like this saturation has kind of reached a head already and leveled off and we can go back to, you know, getting better prices and being able to make, you know, having better margins on the recreational side now, now that a lot of the farms haven't, you know, succeeded, or do you still, are you still seeing a lot of challenges with that?
No, the prices are actually going up. It has been going up the past mm-hmm. months. And the reason is that because half the, you know, the farms got like, you know, just quit and gave up their licenses. So now this year is not flooded like the previous years. So it's allowing the, you know, the recreational farms to make much more money than they were making the previous years.
Okay, that's great then. So once the licenses are given up, does that open up a kind of, you know, when someone releases their license, I know that now OLCC, you're not allowed to trade your license. You're not allowed to sell your license, right? And that just started now at the beginning of the year. We're talking about off air, but, you know, does that spot kind of open up again for someone else to come in? Or has the state kind of seen like, you know what, we don't need that many licenses. We don't need that many growers. It's actually not helping the people to succeed.
To be honest with you, I cannot answer that because the state could do whatever they want at any mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. you know. They capped it now. They could come say, like, for instance, if they legalized it under the federal level in like a year or two, you know, and it becomes like hemp, then, you know, the whole thing would change, you know? Because like, you know, once they, you know, legalize, you know, cannabis like hemp, it becomes like, you know, tomatoes and lettuce, you know, it's like, you know, the regulation that they've been putting on it, it's kind of going to fade away, I feel like, but you know, you never know what the government's going to do.
No doubt. No doubt. Now, you know, let's, you know, fast forwarding, you know, I think, you know, not sure when, but obviously that is on the horizon where we will be seeing, like you said, no different from lettuce and tomatoes. But we've also seen that there have been a lot of, you know, pretty crappy results from some cultivation, you know, with the mold, with stuff that people are doing, you know, unethical stuff, cutting corners. Do you think that it's going to be better for, you know, obviously coming from a cultivation, you have a lot of regulation, a lot of bullshit you have to go through. That you don't want to deal with, but do you think it's going to be better for the industry once it is like hemp and you know, it's descheduled and we have a whole different outlook on it?
Well, it really depends because so here's the thing, the difference with cannabis and hemp is a lot more people use cannabis as, you know, for flower. You know, the CBD market really goes to like a lot of different like products like botanicals, edibles, you know, but like, you know, with the THC, people really like, you know, consume the flower or the oil. And really with cannabis, it comes quality. Okay. You cannot do 100 acres of cannabis and have premium flower of 100 acres. It's just impossible, you know, unless you have a crazy, like thousands of workers, you know, and crazy amount of funds to do that. So with the cannabis, I feel like, you know, the connoisseur market and the quality, you know, it's going to prevent from going crazy scale, you know, even with hemp, you know, if you're trying to go for, flower, you cannot do more than 5 acres of canopy, you know. It just becomes unreal to have quality premium flower, you know, in large scale farms, you know. If you're going for biomass, I understand that. You know, that's a whole nother game. You know, if you're going for fiber stocks, that's a whole nother game. But for flower, it's very important that, you know, to execute the quality, you know, you really need the right team. You need the funds, you need infrastructure, you need the right equipment and the right techniques. And if you're missing one of those, you're not going to be able to execute it right. You know, so you must have the whole thing to be able to produce high quality for the consumers so they are happy when they're using it.
Wow, that's a great point. That's a great point, you know, and having that balance, obviously. And, you know, yeah, like you said, the way that we consume the cannabis side is so different from the hemp side, obviously. And, you know, some people, you know, still have flower with CBD, all that, but it's really not the way that, you know, we're consuming and we're looking for. Now, you have 10 years experience in the industry and you have so much knowledge. I mean, how did you really, you know, break into the industry? How do you really learn cultivation and get to where you are today, you know, starting from the beginning? Can you take me through that?
Absolutely. So, you know, we came out here in Oregon about 10 years ago, and I basically, you know, brought some individuals to, you know, start cultivating for my farm, and basically they failed. And I had some smaller operations going in California and Colorado the years before that, and they also were not successful. You know, like to a point that, you know, I'm like stoked about it. So I've decided to move from my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, to come out in Southern Oregon and get the proper training from one of the well-known growers out here. I stayed with him and his team for a year, and I learned the whole entire process, seed to, you know what I'm saying, sell. And, you know, and these guys had the right genetics, had the right formula. And it's very, very important to know every single step from the genetic to the seed, to the clone, to the transplanting, to your soil, to your climate, you know. And that's why Southern Oregon has such a, you know, good climate, and Northern California as well for, you know, good outdoor flower because of our climate. And learn the, you know, the whole entire thing, you know, what's the value of the soil, the water, the climate, and basically moved on. And, you know, I got to the extraction side of it after that, and, you know, started, you know, doing the BHO, PHO, doing live resin, diamonds, distillate, you know, isolate, and, you know, just learn every single step one by one. And, you know, and, you know, when I decided to be real serious about this industry, you know, a business owner must know head to toe. If you don't know what's going on, then you will fail. Okay. And that's why I focus, you know, the knowledge, be efficient, you know, be cost effective. And if you're not executing those, you will go out of business, especially now when it's so competitive that, you know, if you're not hitting those profit margins, you're going to be out, and that's it. And, you know, you will see that in our industry so much. And I was so grateful to learn these knowledge from, you know, very educated people, and got to know the real knowledge, you know, and, you know, from the beginning to an end. And, you know, and it helped me to grow my business so much. And, you know, and also be disciplined and do the right thing, because now if someone at any, you know, position, whether it's in the farm or the lab, you know, if they're not doing their, you know, job right, I could instantly replace them with someone else and train them myself, you know, and let them know what to do exactly. You know, whether it's, you know, trimming, bucking, pruning, you know, blasting, you know, doing distillation, you know, filtration, whatever it is, you know, I could basically, you know, train anyone and, you know, let them know what's going on. And we also have SOPs for, you know, our farm, you know, day by day, week by week. We have a folder that we basically, when we have our employees, you know, we have training for whatever position they have. We tell them what to do, you know, the formula, you know, whatever it is. So they know exactly what to do based upon the folder that they receive, you know, so they're doing what they're, so they know what they, exactly what they're doing, whether it's, you know, in October, September, or July, or any month of the year.
No, that's amazing. You know, I think people in any business, and in this industry especially, that you just see an influx of people, investors, people who want to jump into the market just because they see dollar signs and not don't necessarily know or care about what's going on. They're not passionate about it. And to see the passion that you have, and, you know, just the, how you had to go and learn under people who have been doing it the right way, and then having to institute your own SOP so that you can keep it going and be able to train people, as opposed to relying on one person. If that person leaves, then everything falls apart. You know, I think that's the real way to build a business. I think so many people are so anxious to jump in and kind of learn on the way. And I always encourage people to go and to be someone's assistant, you know, go and make that, go and find, go and make that person's coffee, and go and learn and see how they run their business and how they do things, and go and do that for a couple of years, you know, a few years. And then when you get there, then you can, you know, you have that experience and you can go and, you know, kind of recreate it for yourself under your own vision. So I definitely love that. That's, I think that's a missing key ingredient that a lot of people are quick to overlook. Definitely.
Exactly. And Maynard, you know, to get quality flower, okay, you know, there are so many steps, you know. It's not, you know, it's the genetics, the grower, the soil, the climate. And when you harvest it, it's how you harvest it, how you dry it, how you buck, trim, package, you know. It's so many different steps, you know, to get quality flower, and it takes years of experience, you know. And like, you know, you got guys that like now or in the past couple of years, they want to get involved with, you know, whether it's the cannabis and hemp, and they think they're going to make $20 million at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, but it does not work like that. You know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of, you know, a lot of passion. I've had guys thinking that we're just throwing seeds on the ground and come back at the end of October and there are $100 bills growing on it, you know. But in reality, that's not true. You know, in reality, it takes a lot of, you know, work to get quality. I mean, you know, the quality of flower, there are so many different levels. You know, you come from LA and you know what mids look like and what's your fire, you know, OG Kush or like, you know, Girl Scout cookie looks like, you know, from your Top Chef dispenser. So there are so many different levels of, you know, growers and flower. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we need more quality than quantity.
So, you know, it's dank discussions. It's all about that dankness, you know. It's you can have a pound of swag and it doesn't mean anything, you know. You get a get some good bud and then that's what you want. And that's how it is in business and that's how it is in cultivation and that's how it is everywhere, you know. We're looking for quality, definitely. Now, you know, talking about quality, you know, something that I found interesting is, you know, you have a lot of experience. And, you know, obviously cultivation is so scientific and, you know, breeding, genetics, and really getting down into things. And, you know, you see how the THC quantity, you know, percentage, how we're able to drive it up from where it was. I mean, it's like, it's almost like a different plant from where it was 40 years ago, right? Even where it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and how we're able to perfect this so much. And, you know, I think, you know, we expect the same kind of thing out of hemp, you know, when we're talking about CBD and how much you can yield. And I think from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are kind of stifled by the laws that are in place that you're only allowed, you know, to have 0.3% THC coming out of that CBD, out of the hemp plants, right? But doesn't really work like that. From my understanding, it's, you know, kind of a ratio that every plant's going to develop, you know, is going to yield a 20 to 1, 18 to 1 kind of ratio per plant. So it's like if you want to have more CBD percentage, the THC percentage is going to go up. And if that happens, you know, then you can have your whole farm, you know, taken away and, you know, being thrown in jail if it's up to a certain percent. How do you kind of, you know, being a geneticist, knowing your stuff, how do you kind of deal with that? You know, and being able to create the most quality flower while having to navigate through those laws that are restrictive and don't even make sense. They're created by lawmakers who don't know what they're doing.
Well, luckily, Oregon and a few other states are going to operate under the 2014 hemp law this year, 2020, but it beat it last year. Okay. But the other states, they're actually going to have that problem. We're going to face that problem next coming year. Well, yeah. And I feel like it's very, very unfair for us farmers to be, basically in, scared of, you know, going above the 0.3 because, you know, we're just farmers, you know. A farmer should not be scared of growing what they're doing, you know, risking their property and their life. You know, I feel like it's very unfair to the farmers. I feel like the politicians need to change this law. I feel like there has to be the THC has to be removed from Schedule One. The DEA needs to reschedule it. And, you know, the Congress needs to act on it and basically legalize the tetrahydrocannabinoid, which is the THC, and make sure, you know, the people can use it, especially when the majority of Americans are for legalization. You know, the majority of Americans are using cannabinoids. You know, whether, you know, it's THC or CBD, now it's going to be CBG, CBN, And, you know, CBC is coming, and there's going to be so many other cannabinoids coming in the next years that I feel like we need, you know, some type of a reform and basically allow, you know, the farmers just cultivate this, you know, plant and make sure they're safe. You know, like they shouldn't be scared for what they're growing. It's absurd. It's very unfair.
No, it's definitely absurd, and it's, you know, it makes no sense whatsoever. And like you said, you're the ones who are growing, and you have to live in fear so much, and that's just ridiculous. Now, you know, I guess, you know, we do need a lot more reform, obviously, in all areas of the industry, that's for sure. And you know, hopefully, we saw a lot of change. We're talking about it off air, and saw so much change over the 2010s. And you know, to see where our industry is now, so really excited to see what happens in the 2020s, and as we become lobbyists, and we can lobby for better reform as well as we grow in power. Now, you know, kind of changing gears a little bit, I guess. You know, there's so many farms out there, so many cultivators, so many different people, you know, who are doing this, especially in the hemp now that is federally legal, and they're everywhere. And we talked about how the saturation. Now, what happened, you know, how does Great American Ranch really differentiate themselves other than the quality? You know, how do you really, you know, how are people able to know that Great American Ranch is the higher quality and that you guys are doing things the right way?
So one thing that we did this year, we did put multiple devices. We have two fields. We have a north field and a south field. And we put multiple devices that we tracked a lot of data, whether it was, you know, the growth of the plant, humidity, climate, NPK, pH. And basically, for instance, when you we're about to have our product line and we're launching our store in Atlanta and Miami. And when you come in our store and when you buy a tincture or a lotion, I could tell you which field, which row, which plant that tincture came from.
That's incredible. Okay?
And yeah, and thank you very much. And, you know, and we did, you know, and I don't know any other farm that did this. Like, I just don't know, you know. And we all, like, basically we created our own metric system for our farm with data collection, you know. And we also did this in Colorado and Wisconsin. And we found out from our research that Oregon does way beyond better than Colorado and Wisconsin, whether it was the climate, the growth, the temperature. And that's one of the things that, you know, we are very proud of, that we did with this data collection, that we're able to not just, you know, show our COA to the customer. Here's our data collection as well. And here's a product of, you know, our product that we have with, you know what I'm saying? And kaboom, you know, and I honestly feel like, you know, and also I like to educate people what they're getting. You know, what these cannabinoids are. For instance, I am completely against distillate and isolate because distillate is hot dog water and isolate is for pharmaceutical. It's broad spectrum. We need full spectrum. The cannabinoids all combined with the terpene profile gives you those effects. Yes, you could take it to distillate and isolate. I've been in the lab 4 years. The only reason they're taking it to distillate and isolate is because the product was either pesty, moldy, had bugs in it, or some type of shit in it. And, you know, at the lab, we remove all that step by step. We have filtration. We have, you know, equipment that we separate all these things. But I always tell people, will you ever go buy, you know, strawberry jam that was made from molded strawberries for your family? The answer is no. You will never do that. And same exact thing, for instance, with the hemp right now. Because we also have a drying facility here in Medford, Oregon, that we were drying 30,000 pounds a day. And I'll tell you this, Maynard, we dried about 1 million pounds wet, and the whole 1 million pounds that came in and the other millions and millions of pounds that I saw from all these farms, the majority, I could say, was either molded, seeded, had pests in it, or had so much stalks and other, you know what I'm saying, garbage with it. Some of them were bringing it with dirt in it. And it just shows that, you know, why, you know, these guys are doing this. And the reason is, you know, they're all trying to make this big money. Uh-huh. They're all trying to, you know, they're all trying to do more acreage when they cannot handle. And that's why there's so much bad material right now out there. And basically, you know, with our projection, you know, with some, you know, very high profile, you know, farmers and people in the industry, we honestly feel like 70% of the hemp farmers are going to get eliminated this season.
Wow. Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, I think some people, they just think, oh, I'm going to throw some seeds in the ground and it's going to grow. People don't realize how much, you know, work goes behind it, and, you know, the nuances, and they just want to jump in and do something and it just doesn't work. And the big losers are the consumers, because the consumers are, you know, trusting us to do our job. They're trusting people within the industry to do their job. And they're going, a lot of these people are going out on a limb, trying it for the first time. People need relief. You know, people are sick, or people are trying something new. People are doing their own research and investigation, and then they get a hold of a product that's bullshit. And that's really, you know, it just puts a whole black eye on the industry. And I think that that's, you know, the one of the biggest things. You know, we talk so much about pharma, we talk so much about regulation, we talk so much about legislation, we talk so much about FDA, we talk, but, you know, it's our own inner regulation that we have to really work on so much, and our own ethical standards that people need to have. Like you said, these people, the 70% are going to be weeded out this year because they're just doing it wrong, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, you can, it costs more money to get a new customer than it does to keep a customer. And people think they're going to sell all this money, sell all this product, but they're selling bullshit. Well, guess what? No one's going to come by and buy your product anymore. You know, no one's going to come. Exactly. And, you know, so great. You know, you can sell 10 million things to 10 million customers, but then can you sell two to the same customer? You know,
and let's go back to, you know, how you were saying how you guys are different from other people. Another thing that I was going to say is, I always tell my buyers, come to our facility and I want to show you how we do step by step, and how we harvest, trim, package, cure. And I want to show you how we're doing it, because we are not ashamed, you know, of what we're doing, and we're actually proud of how we do it. So I always tell the buyers, come over, I'll give you a tour, you could check out our facility, I'll show you exactly what we're doing head to toe. And you could go on our, you know, on our page, and, you know, on our Instagram, and, you know, check it out. And, you know, and you see, you know, that we put a lot of work and effort, you know, to execute the end material. Because I'll tell you this, you know, I've been processing for years, you know, oil, you know, live resin and stuff. And what I learned is, the grower, how you treat that flower, what you feed, and how you do it, is how those trichomes and the cannabinoids form and the terpenes profile form. You know, I could give you the same clone. You and I could have the same exact clone from the same mother, but you could do a way better job than I did, you know, because you had better soil, you had better technique, you know, and your quality came way better than mine, because I wasn't paying attention. I was just feeding it water or just putting it in the ground, you know. So it's really important, step by step, how this product has been cultivated and harvested and, you know, basically dried, cured, packaged, you know, all the way to your hand when you're, you know, smoking it, you know, whether you're smoking it or, you know, you're taking it as, you know, like an edible or botanical or whatever, you know, it has to be full spectrum. Uh-huh. It cannot be distillate or isolate, because the reason they're taking it to distillate or isolate is because the product 99.9% of the time is dirty.
Wow, that's a new, you know, thing that I've heard, because, you know, a lot of times you hear about isolate and it's about efficacy. When people talk about you should be using broad spectrum, full spectrum because of efficacy, it's because it doesn't work as well. And then isolate people are saying, no, that's not true. So there's a lot of varying opinions, obviously, but, you know, you bring a whole new point, you know, where you're talking about where it's, you know, it has to do with shitty, you know, moldy product that they're trying to save, they're trying to salvage. And because they don't have the proper techniques, or, you know, things don't always go well, you know, so they're just trying to salvage it. And that's the reason why it's out there. And, you know, I also appreciate you sharing, you know, all the different things that make you unique. You know, and I think it was genius, you know, the tracking techniques and the data driven stuff that I think a lot of people are lacking in the industry and the business. And that's just a savvy business technique. Now, you know, I think it's hard sometimes for the consumer to really differentiate all those things, or to really know or be aware or be educated on that. What's been your biggest obstacle in bringing that out to people, you know, to partners, to distributors, to, you know, to the end consumer, to other people, about what you guys are doing there at Good American Ranch, and kind of what's been your biggest obstacle of getting that message out?
Well, to be honest with you, in Southern Oregon, people really are not into, like, you know, they just want to do their own technique. And that's why, and that's why I'm really trying to, you know, once I launch my, you know, retail shop in Atlanta, basically we have another warehouse that, you know, we want to have educational classes. And also, we have a doctor on board here in the Valley that's that wants to, you know, get involved with our speeches. And basically, we want to have some YouTube videos soon to teach the consumers what these cannabinoids are, what these cannabinoids do to you, what are these processes in the lab, what's full spectrum, what's broad spectrum, what is live resin, what is crude oil, what is distillate, what's isolate, what all these different things do to you. And basically, you know, soon, you know, with our retail shop, and, you know, with the help of the doctor that we just brought, you know, on board, hopefully we could, you know, with our, you know, educational videos and classes, we could help the, you know, consumers a lot, because I feel like, Maynard, you know, there's a big, big lack of knowledge for the people in America. They don't know where the CBD coming from. So a lot of people don't even know where the THC coming from. You know, like, you know, for instance, in Northern California, I hear they're still using Eagle 20 in all, you know, in all their fields. And, you know, Eagle 20, you know, it's a cancerous, you know, product that is very bad for you. And it's made the same company that made the Hiroshima bomb made Eagle 20, you know. So and people are using, you know, these bad products on it. So it's really important for people to find and learn where they're getting their, you know, their cannabinoids from. Who's it coming from? Is the farm a reliable source? Do they have their COAs? Is it true COAs? And, you know, basically, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, no, and education is the main thing that we're definitely lacking. I think everybody has a different take on how to go about education, what it means to educate, you know, who should we be educating, who's the target, and how to go about it, obviously. So I'm glad to hear you guys have an amazing plan in place. Now that brings me to the next thing, you know, what can we expect from Great American Ranch in the future? I know you mentioned the retail shop coming up and the education side. Anything you can add to that?
Well, hopefully we could, you know, with the retail shop that we, you know, going to, you know, have, you know, fund the processing side of it and basically build the extraction facility, which is GMP compliant, FDA approved. You know, H3 occupancy with C1, D1, and C1, D2 rooms. So, you know, we could do everything in-house.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, it seems like you've got to spearhead the whole thing now. You know, before I let you go, I always ask every entrepreneur, you've been in the space for 10 years. You guys are doing a great job there. You know,
Thanks, sir.
Navigating through the waters, this crazy stuff going on. You know, so love to ask, you know, how do you define success and what does success look like for you?
Well, success, one is growth. You know, I always want to expand. And also with success, I want to see happy customers. You know, mm-hmm. my main goal is to give quality product to consumers. My main focus is to educate, you know, the consumers and basically help our industry a better world. And what's it going? And I feel like when you, you know, provide such great service and quality to consumers, you know, they will support you. And, you know, hopefully that would put us towards success in the future.
Oh, definitely. You know, you take care of your customers, take care. It sounds like you have great SOPs internally and doing things the right way and happy customers. That's definitely the main way to growth. That's for sure. So happy to hear that now. Now, as we close, how can listeners find out about you and, you know, Great American Ranch and connect with you?
Yeah, basically Great American Ranch LLC is our Instagram page. And also Vital CBD is going to be our retail shop in Atlanta. We're going to have our, you know, website soon up, vitalcbd.shop. And, you know, and they could, you know, find our, you know, product. You know, whether it's botanical, edible, flower, cartridges, pre-rolls, we'll have everything, you know, on store, made from products from our farm. And we're also going to have CBG and CBN, except, you know, the CBD for our users, in our retail shop and, you know, the website as well.
Awesome. Looking forward to, man, big 2020 here ahead of you and a big decade. So thanks again for jumping on today, Reza. Really appreciate it. Really enjoyed it. And good luck to you.
Thank you so much, 2020 man, beyond. For sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All the best.
All righty.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's CALACANN.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.